The topic of today and also of the next lesson will be the problem of solving non-linear systems of equations. This is an important and common frequent problem. Just remember that in optimization, the condition gradient of some functional that has to be minimized equal to zero. That's the basic condition that we apply, leads to a non-linear system of equation. Generally, this is a non-linear system of equation. Just let us give some detail on the notation that we will use. We think the nonlinear system written in the form f of x equal to 0, where f is a vector of functions, it is f is the finite over R to the n or some domain closed or open, we will see better in the following, omega in R to the n, with values again in R to the n. So you have to think that f is formed by n functions, f sub 1 and so on, where x is a vector again in the space R to the n. A preliminary step analogously to a similar step that is considered in the scalar case is the transformation of the nonlinear system written in this way in an equivalent, that is with the same solutions, nonlinear system written in this, in the second form, where G is a suitable vector of functions, G sub 1, G sub n, again, the functions which form the vector, this vector, are defined again on the space R to the n. This is important in the sense that the second form of the linear system suggests an iterative scheme which produces a sequence of vectors Each of them is obtained from the previous by computing the value of the function g, of the vector function g. It is clear this reasoning is the same. That is done when transforming a scalar function. Just remember, certainly you know it, the Newton method for scalar equations. In that case, we start from example for the scalar case, we start from some equation defined by the function fx and obtain for the Newton method, define a function g, also scalar, defined as x minus f over the first derivative. We are thinking to do the same thing with difference that the function f and g are defined over this space with values again over the same space. First, we give to be clearer that if n is equal to 2, this the given linear system is formed by two nonlinear equations in two unknowns, where these linear system has the form or directly the iterative scheme has the form the first component g sub 1 computed in the previous point. Just see the I minus 1 first and second component, and the same for the second component. Well, we gain two general results which consist of sufficient conditions for convergence. They are versions of a famous general theorem, the fixed point theorem. Sufficient conditions for convergence. We will begin with conditions which give global convergence. What does it mean, global? Global means that we determine an interval, or better, a neighborhood of the solution. The solution will be called alpha, alpha is a point, is a vector, solution of the two nonlinear systems. So f of alpha is 0, but also alpha is equal to g in alpha. We will determine a neighborhood of alpha such that we will have convergence for every initial point chosen inside that neighborhood. I give you the statement. The proof is straightforward. This is the theorem. The assumptions for convergence let S be a neighborhood of alpha with respect to the infinite norm. So this neighborhood is defined as the set of points such that their distance from alpha in infinite norm is less than some constant, positive constant sigma. So this is a ball of radius sigma with respect to the infinite norm. This neighborhood must be must have this property such that the function g is of class C 1 super 1 in S. This means that function, all the functions which form G have continuous derivatives of order 1 in this set, in this neighborhood. Moreover, the matrix H, is the Jacobian matrix of G. The Jacobian matrix, as you know, is the matrix of the partial derivatives of the vector's function G. So the definition is a matrix of functions. The entry with indices I and J is simply the derivative of G sub J with respect to X sub, of G sub I with respect to X sub J computed in some point X. In the assumption, in the assumptions of the theorem, this matrix is required to have infinite norm, matrix infinite norm, less than 1 for X in S. So this neighborhood must have these two properties, essentially this one. If all this happens, then we have convergence, or more precisely, we have convergence in the sense that for any choice of the initial point in S, so
then for any choice of x, initial point in S is sub zero in S, we have convergence in the sense that the limit of the sequence of vectors, the iterate vectors, is just the solution alpha. The idea of the proof is simple, because it is sufficient to prove that the iterative scheme is a contraction, in the sense that the difference in norm, in infinite norm, of a generic iterate vector with the solution alpha is less or equal of lambda times, I will tell you who is lambda, the distance between the previous iterate and alpha, where lambda is a constant a non-negative constant less than 1. This happens, as we will see, for every I, and if this is 2, we have immediately that apply a sufficient number of times this inequality, we have that this difference is less than lambda to the power I by the initial difference, and the initial difference is bounded by the radius sigma, we have called it sigma, of the neighborhood S. If you take the limit of both members, we have that this limit is zero, since lambda, we will see that is less, that strictly less than one. So the limit of this sequence, this geometric sequence, is zero. On the other side, we have a natural bound that is zero, so the sequence of these differences must converge to zero. And this means the convergence of the sequence is the same that the convergence in norm for every, for any norm. So we have to prove this. The proof is by induction. For the first iteration, or better, for the initial guess, for the initial choice, the inequality is trivially fulfilled for let us substitute. Let us consider directly this inequality, which makes sense also for I equal to zero. So this inequality is true
for I equal to 0, because we have that the initial difference is equal to lambda to the 0 power by itself. So there is nothing to prove. The inequality which implies the second inequality, so this inequality, let us mark it as 1, with the label up 1, for the index larger than or equal to 1, we can write difference, use the definition of the iterative scheme, x super I is g in x super I minus 1. Alpha is the solution, so alpha is equal to g of alpha. Then we use the assumption that g as O, its derivative continues. So we can, under the condition of applying the mean value theorem for functions of n variables, so it is the same thing, the Taylor expansion, for each function g sub r. So we consider these are vectors. We consider the entry within an index r of the two vectors that we have. Mean value theorem. The gradient, here I can write the scalar product of the gradient of the function g sub r by the difference between these two arguments. This scalar product is the sum of all the partial derivatives of g sub r computed where? In some point that we call C sub r. This point depends on G sub r, on alpha, and on x super r minus 1. Scalar product multiplied by the entries of the vector, the difference vector. The index is less. Well, let us consider morally as usual the modulus of a sum is less than or equal to the sum of the moduli. The product, the modulus of the product is equal to the product of the moduli. We can bound this with what? Here we can take the infinite norm of the difference of these two vectors. The infinite norm is the maximum over this model. So if we replace these terms with their maximum, I have a larger quantity which can be put outside the sum. So the sum of these values how can it be bounded? Just recall that the infinite norm of a matrix apart its definition can be characterized as the maximum of the sums of the moduli, the sums computed along the rows, so here J, and the maximum is considered over I. This is just sum of square roots. You see, the sum of the moduli of the entries of H, the Jacobian matrix of G, computed in C sub R, and the row is given by the index of G. So we have here just the entries of this matrix along the row R. If the infinite norm of H is the maximum of all the sums, we can again bound this quantity with this norm again, and the infinite norm of this particular matrix. By induction, this point that we don't know exactly, however, belongs to S, because from the mean value theorem or Taylor expansion, we know that this point belongs to the line which joins the previous iterate vector and alpha. So by induction we know that the previous vector belongs to S, so all the line belongs to S, so also this point belongs to S, so we may conclude that this value is less than what? In the assumption, in the form in which we have given them, we have that, recall just the assumptions, the infinite norm of the Jacobian, the infinite norm of H of X, was strictly less than 1 in S. By continuity, let us call with lambda the maximum which by continuity must exist of this norm of H in S. So at this point, and this maximum, if this is essential, is strictly less than 1, because by continuity, due to the fact that S is a closed neighborhood. In the definition of S, I don't remember if I written it well. Yeah, there was a weak inequality. And this leads us to the conclusion, because we have just found that I write it again in a clearer way. We have found that the modulus of here was the iterate vector and step I minus alpha and zero index R modulus less than or equal to lambda with lambda less than 1, the norm, the infinite norm. Of the difference between alpha and the previous iterate. Just apply the definition of infinite norm. The infinite norm of this vector is the maximum of these differences, so the inequality holds also for the infinite norm. So we have got the result from this you obtain. The bound with sigma and therefore the convergence. Well, some comment on this result. In the assumption of this theorem, we use this condition. This is a sufficient condition. Convergence might occur also in cases when this norm assumes values greater than or equal to 1. Let us take a nice example that you find near the end of this section of a simple non-linear system, and of a method of this type . These methods are called methods of functional iteration, converging even if this assumption is not verified in a neighborhood of the solution. Example for n equal to 2 is this. This is a simple example. It could be solved exactly, explicitly. And by means of a substitution, if you solve it directly, you will find that once it has
two solutions, two real solutions,
one of the two solutions is this. The fact that this system has two solutions can be checked easily, graphically, easily, because the first equations, the points satisfying the first equations, lie on a circle, and the points satisfying the second equation lie on a straight line. You find here the graphic separation, which gives for the first equation, so this with the choice of G sub 1, a circle of center 2 and radius 2. And the second, the point satisfying the second equations lie on this straight line. So. Okay. You see here that there are two real solutions, alpha and beta. First of them, alpha, has these values. Well, the question is, if I use the system written in this form as the model for an iterative scheme based on G, will I have convergence? If I apply the assumptions seen in the theorem proven just before, I have to consider the Jacobian, the matrix H, which in this case is given by, you have a 2x2 matrix, the partial derivatives of the first function, G1, are one half of x sub 1. Here I derive G1 with respect to x sub 2. It is symmetrical the function. The second function, here the derivative with respect to x sub 1, and here the derivative of this, which is the function, with respect to x sub 2, which is 0. So there is no way to satisfy the condition infinite norm of the Jacobian matrix of H less than 1, because here you have constant, the modulus, the sum of the moduli taken over the second row gives you exactly 1. So the infinite norm of this matrix is always larger than or equal to 1. Notwithstanding, if I start from a point reasonably close to A in the example, the choice is the point
initial point is this
1 1. So this one. And if we compute some iterations, we see that we have convergence. It is a slow convergence, but we have convergence. So it is very interesting to know also a local result, a result of local convergence. I give you only the statement. Local convergence, to have local convergence, it is sufficient to have this to require these facts. Again, assumptions. G has to be of C sub 1 class on some domain of the space. Moreover, rho, the spectral radius, of the Jacobian matrix of H computed in alpha. Alpha is the solution that we are considering. Alpha equal to G of alpha, strictly less than 1. Then, an induced norm, an induced matrix norm, exists. And a neighborhood, a circular neighborhood, neighborhood of alpha, we call it again S. With radius, call it again sigma, where the norm here is not necessarily the infinite norm. It is the vector norm which induces this matrix norm. Vector norm inducing. No. Such that there is convergence for any initial point in S. We do not develop the proof, but we stress the difference with the previous result. In this case, we have to we require some information regarding the Jacobian matrix, the spectral radius of the Jacobian matrix in the solution. This seems difficult to have, but we will see that for some method, specifically the Newton methods, the Newton method for the nonlinear, for the multivariate nonlinear case, this condition is automatically satisfied. So for some methods, it is possible by using these conditions to state a general result of local convergence, in the sense that we are sure that if we choose the initial point sufficiently close to the solution, we will have convergence. Well, we stop here. Next time, we will consider the most used method for nonlinear systems, which is the Newton method in the multivariate case. That's all. Thank you.